Persecution is part of the package for the believer in Christ. Here's Pastor Jeff.
Don't think it strange concerning any persecution that comes your way. A boss, those in the family, or whatever. I mean, there is going to be, isn't that a promise? All who live godly shall suffer persecution. If you're living for the Lord, you're going to suffer persecution. That's just part of the warfare, isn't it? Just part of, you know, serving the Lord. It's going to happen.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Maybe you didn't realize it, but you are in a spiritual war every day. An adversary that wants to take you out and hinder the plans and purposes of God. But there is a way to win the war, and we find it in 1 Chronicles chapter 19. Today on Sound Doctrine, Pastor Jeff Johnson reveals how standing in the power of God and His might is the way to victory. Here's Pastor Jeff now with part one of a message called More Than Conqueror.
In presently 1 Chronicles, and we are going to be tackling chapter 19 of 1 Chronicles. So if you'll turn your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 18, or excuse me, 19, chapter 19. 18 was David's wars, and he was a warrior, and as we go into chapter 19, here we see David's wars continue. But it's interesting, it's a little different than chapter 18. Chapter 18, he was just trying to go into the land and clean it out of all of the debris and all of the infected people and just the things that were going on and just making sure that all of their gods are destroyed and cleaning up the land. God called him to be a warrior king. And chapter 19, he reaches out in love here, which is interesting, to his enemy. And how the enemy responds to him. It's crazy. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, it says that we are to fight the good fight. I love that verse. And then in Isaiah 54, he says in verse 17, listen to this, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So, no weapon. David was in the hands of the Lord. David was the anointed king of Israel. God called David to go in to the land, just like he called Joshua to go into the land. And these two guys are the ones that really conquered the promised land and took it. But here we see the past chapters were prophecies being fulfilled and revealed. And we're seeing it continue now. Over in chapter 17, going back a little bit, verse 10 of 1 Chronicles, 17:10, it says, I will, and this is in the middle of the verse, I will subdue all your enemies, David. God is giving him a promise. He gives us all kinds of promises in his word. Mark the promises. Stand on the promises. When God promises you something, especially as you're reading and God's speaking to you, mark it and stand upon it because it's the word of God. And if we just embrace it, it becomes a part of us and we believe it, then God brings it to pass every single time. So, God says, I'm going before you, David. You're going to have the victory. And then over in chapter 18 in verse 13, it says, 18:13. Oh, actually, 18:6. Right at the end of the verse, the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And then in verse 13, it says it again. The Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. God was Emmanuel with David. And Emmanuel means what? God with us. And so God was with David. Is God with you? I mean, come on. Is David any different than we are? No. He's just a man that God anointed, that God was with, just like we are men and women. And God is with us. God with us, grew up, died, and now he's in us. Not just with us, but in us. Over in Acts 21, there's an interesting scripture there. In verse 19, and when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. Paul is ministering to them at this point, and he's saying all these things that God did. He's kind of giving a missions report of what God's doing. In verse 20 of 21, he says, and when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and they said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe. And they all were zealous of the law. So God used not only David, but he used Paul. I mean, these are his agents. David was, you know, used of God to do tremendous things. He anointed him, he anointed Paul, and he wants to anoint us. He wants to use us to touch somebody for him and to fight the good fight. And to understand that when you become a Christian, you're in a war. You have an adversary that has things to deceive us with, traps he sets for us. And yet our weapons of our warfare are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. So God gives us and suits us up with the whole armor. So let's jump in here in chapter 19. And this is David's messengers kind of are humiliated here. It says, now it came to pass after this that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, died. So the king dies and his son reigns in his stead. Now this is the enemy. And you would say maybe why is David loving the enemy? Why is David helping the enemy? Well, I think it was because both the Ammonites and David didn't like Saul and didn't appreciate Saul and what he was doing when he was alive. And so they both had an enemy that they were fighting, more or less, or coming against. So, you know, it's interesting when you both have an enemy, you come together to fight that enemy. But notice, David said, I will show kindness unto Hanun, because Hanun is the son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness to me. So it evidently David and Nahash were close. And it's because of Saul probably. And David sent messengers to comfort him concerning his father, that he felt sorry for him, that he no longer has his father on the throne. Now he has to fill those shoes and do it himself. And so he just sent a few guys to encourage him. And so the servants of David came into the land of the children of Ammon to Hanun to comfort him. Interesting. He's going to comfort him in his grief. He's going to make sure he receives love. This is a different side of David. He was a very caring man. And here he's caring for his enemy. And he hasn't come against Ammon yet, and no reason to. But the princes of the children of Ammon, probably young guys that were just raised up, said to Hanun, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Is this what you think these guys are coming for? Are not his servants come to thee for to search? They're coming to spy and to overthrow. And eventually, once they take it all in about what we have here and what's going on over here, and they're spying out the land. These are David's spies. Don't let them in here. And if you do let them in, let's take them, you know? I mean, it's just, it's so wrong in so many ways. And David's really reaching out. And look what happens. Verse 4, wherefore Hanun took David's servants, he shaved them, he cut off their garments in the midst, hard by their buttocks, and sent them away. He humiliated them. To cut a Jew's beard off, to cut his locks off. I don't know if you ever saw any of those films in from Germany, but that's what they're doing, making fun of the Jews. They would take them in big scissors and cut off their locks, cut off their beards, and just make a mess and throw them in the street. This is a constant thing, to humiliate. And so here we have it, way back when David, still doing it to, you know, these days, you know, humiliating people. So then it says, there went certain and told David. Somebody saw it. Somebody, you know, realized what was going on, went to David, how the men were served and how they were treated. And he sent to meet them, for the men were greatly ashamed. They didn't want to show their faces. They didn't want to do anything. They were just humiliated. And the king said, listen, you guys, you stay at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then you can come back. Our call is to go and to give the gospel. Our call is to go out and love others. Jesus said over in John chapter 15, this is John 15 in verse 20. He said, remember the word that I said unto you, that the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So Jesus told us that when we go out to love and to minister and to give out the good news, we're going to be persecuted. But don't let it humiliate you. Don't let it get you down. Kick the dust off your feet and go to the next person. Because they did it to him, and are we greater than he is? He gave the good news. He was the good news. And look what they did to him. We're giving it out. So don't think it strange concerning any persecution that comes your way. A boss, those in the family, or whatever. I mean, there is going to be, isn't that a promise? All who live godly shall suffer persecution. If you're living for the Lord, you're going to suffer persecution. That's just part of the warfare, isn't it? Just part of, you know, serving the Lord. It's going to happen. And some of them, it'll maybe be your very family. Over in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus has something more to say about this. This is Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. He says, blessed, oh, how happy are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, oh, how happy are you when men shall revile you, persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You're in good company. They did it to all the prophets. They persecuted them all. And then over in Matthew 5, verse 42, this is heavy. Matthew 5, 42, give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. You have heard it said, that has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate your enemy. But this is what the Lord says to us. But I say unto you, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. What's that all about? That's what Jesus said we're to do. Why would he say that? In verse 45 of Matthew 5, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. That the same DNA that was there poured out when Jesus hung on that cross that came down would be in us. That same love, that same forgiveness. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But how can I recover from what has happened to me, you know? They hurt me so bad. Don't worry. Your beard will grow. Okay? It'll grow back. And you know what? You'll be stronger because of it. Because of what you went through. You'll be stronger. You'll know a little bit more about how people react, and especially when it comes to the good news of the cross. And that's just the way it is. So, maybe you've been abused, you've been mocked, you've been hurt, you've been humiliated. But the Lord promises, over in Exodus chapter 14, verse 14, he says this, "The Lord will fight for you. And you shall hold your peace." And this was when they started griping to Moses, saying, "You brought us out here just to die in this wilderness? It'd be better if we would have stayed back in Egypt. Why did you do that?" They were humiliated. They thought, and here comes Pharaoh and his army to wipe us out. Way to go, Mo. And Moses said, "No, hey, guys, the Lord will fight for you." Do you believe that? I mean, do you remember what happened? I mean, wow. Talk about a victory. The whole Egyptian army were taken care of in one swoop. That's it. So, he will fight for you. The Son of David will come to our defense. He is my Lord. He is my defense. I shall not be moved, is what David cried out in the Psalms. I shall not be moved. He's my defense. He says, "Stand still in the battle and watch what I'll do. Wait on the Lord, renew your strength, and you'll rise up as an eagle." And verse 6 says, "And when the children of Ammon saw that they had made themselves odious," that's an interesting word, they made David mad. David had a temper. They got to David. Remember, there was one psalm there that said, as David's praying, "Lord, break their teeth in their mouth." He was a kind of a shrewd guy. I mean, a pretty heavy duty, I mean, we don't pray that today, do we? Jesus already told us how to pray. He said, "Love your enemy. Don't despitefully, come against them." No, it doesn't work that way. But David was a little angry here as he saw his men being humiliated. And when he went to talk with them and saw what they did to them, it fired him up. He's a man of war. So Hanun, the children of Ammon, sent 1,000 talents of silver to hire mercenaries. They hired chariots, they hired horsemen out of Mesopotamia. I mean, we're talking major stuff that they were purchasing out of Syria and out of Zobah. And so these Syrians would come out of the north, coming down upon David and his forces. David, listen, he was on the defensive. He didn't want war. He didn't want to fight with Ammon. He wanted just to comfort the guy. He wanted to have somebody who wasn't their enemy. And he tried. He reached out to them. But they pushed him too far, too much. So, verse 7, they hired 32,000 tanks. That's what a chariot was back then. Can you imagine 32,000 tanks? Wow. That's different than 3,000 that was coming over from Syria against Israel during the 1967 war. That's a little different. 3,000. But they were up against one, two tanks that the Israelis had. And they stopped them. Unbelievable things happened in that war. Talk about God fighting for a nation. God fighting for a people. I mean, he stopped them in their tracks. They were so afraid because they took it so quickly and so easily, they just stopped. And it gave time for the Israelis to get in their planes, pack it full of paratroopers, and fly over and dump these guys right on the Golan Heights and just started doing unbelievable tactics. With bazookas and just taking out one tank after another. The war was incredible. It was a miracle. So they hired these 32,000 chariots against David's forces. And the king of Maacah and his people who came and pitched before Madaba, and the children of Ammon gathered themselves together from their cities and came to battle. So Ammon's coming from the south, Syria's coming from the north, and David's right in between them. I mean, it looks like, uh-oh, David finally has met his match. He's had it. Now, when David heard of this, he sent Joab. Joab was his guy. As far as a fighter, he led his men. He was a commander of the forces there. He knew a lot about battles. He knew a lot about setting up battles and how to fight this surround type of warfare that they were actually literally being surrounded. And all the host of his mighty men. I mean, he had special forces that were just mind blowers. These guys would come in, a few guys, and they would do great damage. Mighty men, it says. David, when he went to war, would take a stand. Folks, we're in a war. Whether you know it or not, it's serious. It's real. There are walking wounded in this war, and some of you have talked to some of those. There are those that have been taken out completely from us, and they used to be with us. They are no longer here. They've been taken out. The enemy is wise and good at what he does. He's been doing it for thousands of years. And we have an adversary that knows a whole lot more than we do about warfare. The lies, the deception, the camouflage, the deceit, the wiles of the deceitful one. And he'll do anything to attack, to ambush, to surround, to put out of business any Christian that tries to serve God. What are we to do? I mean, this is crazy. What are we to do? Read Ephesians 6, verse 11. We're to stand in his power and in his might, as David would always do when he went into war. And when he went into war, he went into W-I-N, to win. And he just said, we're going in to win. Why? Because Emmanuel. We're going in to win. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. We're going, and we're going to take them in the name of the Lord.
Pastor Jeff Johnson on how to win this war that we find ourselves in. It's by the power of God. Today on Sound Doctrine, we have been in 1 Chronicles chapter 19. It's a message that we have titled, More Than Conqueror. Hey, to get today's study on CD, all you need to do is pick up the phone and call toll-free, 800-353-7553. And the suggested donation is $5. Again, 800-353-7553. You can also replay any program you enjoy at sounddoctrineradio.org. And listen to Pastor Jeff through our app. Search for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or Google Play. With all that's been going on, don't you wonder how close we are to the Lord's return? Well, allow Pastor Jeff to show you how close in a wonderful DVD called End Times Scenario. It's our featured resource right now on Sound Doctrine, and it's based in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. To request this special offer for just $10, call 800-353-7553 or visit sounddoctrineradio.org. And if you could include a little extra, we'd sure appreciate it. It takes a team to bring Sound Doctrine to the radio every day. Whether it's a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support, God can use it in great ways to impact people with His life-changing truth. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. Simply put, we enjoy hearing from you, our listeners. It never grows old. Email us today, won't you? sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. And please also mention the station that you listen to and tell us what the Lord is doing in your life. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. And then come back tomorrow when we'll have another study in 1 Chronicles for you here on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff, a daily presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey. So